got to forge ahead and go, I'm just going to keep praising God. I am going to keep trusting God.
I am not going to put my hope in man or in anyone but Jesus. Amen? Amen. So like we usually do, one of the ways that we can do that is just by shaking each other's hands. You shine light when you do that. I don't know if you know that or not. You look at someone, you look them in the eye, and you say, God bless you today. But you got to look them in the eye. We don't do that sometimes. Sometimes, you know, we just, okay, God bless you, God bless. Like you gotta look people in the eye. You go, man, God bless you. You make that eye contact. And that's what worship is. Worship is eye contact with the Father. And we're going to be doing that all morning. So let's stand up and start doing it with each other. Look someone in the eye. And look, Carrie's back. All right. Thank you, God. Welcome. By now you feel welcome. You should. By now. I guess we're not done. Okay, why don't we find a place to sit? One more. Thank you, God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's find a place to sit. Amen. Amen. David said that. He said, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And boy, there's a lot of excitement here today. That's a good thing, right? Hi, David. We have a lot to thank God for, and that's what undergirds all of our worship is gratitude. We just say thank you, God. We thank him for his word. We thank you for worship. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen to that? Thank you, God, that you did not leave us as orphans, but that you've given us your Holy Spirit to lead us. I don't know, where would we be without the Holy Spirit? Where would we get? You need comfort. You need peace. There's only one source of that comfort, and there's only one source of that peace, and that's through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said that he gave his Holy Spirit to us so that we would have that, so he would teach us. You need teaching? The teaching comes through the Holy Spirit of God. So we're going to pray about that in a minute and just ask God to teach us and to comfort us and to give us the peace that we need and to help us with the things that are broken, because he's a redeeming God. You believe that? He is a redeeming God. I mentioned, just let me spiel here a little bit, but I mentioned on Tuesday at the kitchen, I did devotions, I was talking about the real meaning of Christmas and how I've been just kind of listening for how people talk about what the real meaning of Christmas is. And even good, strong Christian people, you know, how what we say really isn't necessarily true. I heard a commercial on TV, on the radio, about the real meaning of Christmas. And the guy, I won't say who it was, but it was local, but he was saying, and the real meaning of Christmas is that, you know, Jesus came so that we could have our hearts open to really love each other. And that sounds really good, but that's not the real meaning of Christmas. I mean, it's a nice byproduct. I hope that all happens. I hope it happens that we all really learn to love each other. But that's not really why Jesus came at Christmas. I was talking to a friend of mine this week on Wednesday, and he said to me, well, we're going to, at Christmas, we're going to have a lot of fun with the family. We're all getting together. Because after all, that's what Christmas is all about. No, that's not what Christmas is all about either. I mean, I hope you do that too. I hope you have a lot of fun with your family. I hope you get together. I hope you have turkey and all that good stuff. But that's not what Christmas is about. And I've probably heard, you're just starting to listen to this, you know. Someone last night was talking about gifts. And that, you know, you got to give meaningful gifts. Give something that really comes from your heart when you give a gift. Because after all, that's what Christmas is all about. No, that's not what Christmas is all about either. Christmas is really all about Jesus coming to shed his blood to pay for our sins. It's only about that. All the other stuff that gets tied to it, some of that's good stuff, and I hope that happens in our lives. But there's only one thing that matters when we talk about what Christmas is really about, and it's about Jesus. Jesus came so that we could be forgiven, so that we don't need to carry the weight of our sin anymore, and so that he could provide a way for us to have an eternal life if we repent and if we believe. Do you believe that? You say amen? Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. Okay, good. I'm going to pray in a minute, but just a couple sort of short announcements. One is the most important announcement of the day, and that's that this afternoon we're having a party at our house. And we really hope you come. We need you there. We got lots of food because you're bringing some. I was told to tell that. There's been some confusion. Some people think there's going to be a turkey dinner tonight. There is not going to be a turkey dinner. So I've been asked by someone special to me to make sure that was clear. There is not going to be 3 or 4 turkeys cooked for you. Please bring something, even if it's a bag of chips. Or if you can't afford anything, just bring yourself. But bring food because we're going to eat each other's food. I think that's what the idea of a potluck is, right? So come tonight. It's going to be around 5 o'clock at our house. If you don't have a ride, 4:30, be here. There's going to be cars leaving between 4:30 and 4:45. If you come after 4:45, there probably won't be a ride. I know I'm going to ask you now because I guess last time there were a few people who came and they didn't get a ride. So how many people can be here in a vehicle at 4:30 to pick people up to bring them? Any volunteers? There's Alvin and Dawn and Don. So there's at least 3. You got a big truck, right? Can you bring your... Okay. You got a trunk. He's got a big trunk is what I meant. So there's at least 3 of you. You'll be here at 4:30. If there's anyone else who can find a way to do that, there's a bunch of people that want to come from the streets and don't have vehicles maybe. Or just let's find a way to come together. We're going to have a great time. Am I missing anything? That's all we were going to say about that, right? So if you don't know where we live and you got a vehicle, just come and see us after church. I'll give you the quick directions. And then we're going to pray today. I'm going to remember Sam, who's in the hospital again. So she's just struggling with some heart issues that they believe are connected to anxiety and stress. Just ask for a clear diagnosis and for healing for Sam and be with that family. And we're glad for Carrie that you're back here for a little bit, just for the weekend. Yeah. Amen. So we're just going to pray together, and then I'm going to turn it over to Crystal. God, thank you. Thank you that you shine light in our dark world. Thank you that you are the light of the world. Thank you that you came, Jesus, because of one motive, because of love. That you loved us so much that you came into the world and you gave your life so that whoever believes in you will not perish but will have everlasting life. And we believe in you. God, there's some people who are here for the first time today, and they're wondering what's going on and whether this is real and whether you're real. We know you are, but I also know, Lord, that you're a God who shows himself. So we pray today that you'll do just that. To anyone who is wondering whether God might love them or whether God could save them or whether you could change their lives or even just give them hope, show them today who you really are. You promise us that if we seek you, we'll find you. And so we're seeking you today. We're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking today. And we pray, God, for Sam as she's in the hospital again, that you will just give her calm, give her peace, that your Holy Spirit will be all over her, that you will still her heart, literally, that she will receive the healing that she needs. Be with Jason as he stands by her side. We pray for William in hospice, that you'll put your arms around him today. And as he gets closer to the time when he hears, well done, good and faithful servant, Lord, that you will comfort him and strengthen him and that he'll be ready to hold your hand as the good shepherd leads him through the valley of the shadow of death, because you promised to do that. Today we stand on your promises. Boy, I love your promises. Thank you for Carrie and her kids are here. Thank you, God, for the healing that's happening in her life. Thank you that we can reacquaint and hug and celebrate your goodness. Together we say, you're a good, good father. You're such a good father. You only want what's best for us. Thank you, Jesus. We pray for the service today. We pray for Pauline as he brings the word of God. And right now I just pray for Crystal that you'll help her to speak the words that are given to her by you too. Thank you, Jesus, for the family of God that we are. Thank you that we can support each other. Thank you that we pray for one another. Thank you that we see evidence of the different gifts of the body functioning together. God, we pray that we'll continue to remember that you, Christ, are the head of this body and that you hold us together. No one else could hold us together. And that your love permeates, just permeates through all of us. We're grateful for that. Thank you, God. All glory and all honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Today I'm going to talk about a little bit different kind of gift. And it kind of struck me when we were singing that song about gifts, and I just thought, oh, this is a different kind of gift. And yeah. So this week I was reading in Acts 14, and it's not really a Christmassy passage, but it's a really good passage. And I'm just going to read some words that I read. About Paul and Barnabas. These are guys that went around and they were starting churches and they were just speaking to the Gentiles and saying, hey, this is who God is. You know, he's full of hope. And so he was starting churches all over. But anyway, it says this: they preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Those are the churches they had already started. Why did they do that? Strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. And this is what they said. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And that is the gift today. We have to go through many hardships. And you have to know the context of this little passage here. Because just before this, in the passage just before this, Paul was speaking, and there was a crippled man sitting there, and Paul and Barnabas could look into his eyes and see that he had faith, and they said they said to him, "Be healed." And he got up and he jumped around and he was praising God. Well, now this is in a place where people didn't know God; they had all kinds of other gods, and so they were just amazed. And so this is the place where they started going, oh, look, Hermes and Zeus have visited us. We've got, look, at these two gods have come to visit us. And Paul and Barnabas were going, no, we are not gods. No, there's only one true God. So they were just, you know, they couldn't get enough They couldn't get enough of Paul and Barnabas. They thought they were just it. Except on that very same day, some Jews came from Antioch and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul. Wow. So in the midst of all this celebration, in the midst of this, wow, great, they stoned Paul. And that's where that little phrase comes. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not for wimps. It is not for people who think that it's just going to be real easy. It is not real easy. There are going to be hard things. And you know what? I probably don't have to say that to any single person in this room. Already this morning, I talked to a few people who are going through some really hard things. We go through hard things. Stan and I have been going through some hard things. You know that. Every time I talk, I think I talk about that. But we've been going through some really, some tough things. And, you know, my heart sometimes has a tendency to want to judge people who are judging Stan. That's the honest truth. And God keeps saying to me, no. You are being just like them. This is a spiritual battle. This is a trial. An actual one. And it's between God and Satan. And I've already won this battle, so you just need to tuck in your armor, secure it, girl, and get going. Because you know what? There, we have to face many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. So this week, Shade, I don't know if you know Shade. She's that beautiful lady sitting back there. She's told me something, because one of the trials that is hard for me right now is fear. And it keeps trying to creep in, and I keep trying to kick it out. Satan loves to work with fear. And she gave me this acronym, and it's so good. It's FALSE. It's an acronym for fear. FALSE, evidence, appearing real. FALSE, evidence, appearing real. Fear. And you know, that is not from God. That is from Satan. And so God just keeps reminding me that, you know what? You have to go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And he said, if you want to fight this battle, which I want you to fight this battle with the kingdom of God, then you need to start with love. So start loving your enemies. Start praying for those who are persecuting you. Because I've already won this battle. So if we look back, I just want to go back to Acts 14, because this other part is really important too. It says, what were they doing, Paul and Barnabas? They were strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. That is a really important part of that verse. Because even though we're going through hardships, even though it's this kingdom is not easy, it's tough, God is with us and other Christians are with us. Paul and Barnabas went back to all those churches. For what purpose? To strengthen them, to strengthen these people, to encourage them, to keep them true to the faith. And you know what? That's what this body has been doing for Stan and I, totally for us. And this morning, I just need to stand here and say thank you. Thank you to so many of you who have stood beside us, who have not condemned, who have not judged, who have said, you know what, who have forgiven. We're here for you. No matter what happens, we're here for you. Because we believe that God has a bigger plan here, that this is a bigger plan, and that this is a spiritual battle. And Satan wants to take Stan out. He does. He wants to take him right out of here. But he's not going to win that battle. He is not going to win that battle. But I need to personally thank you, because you guys are, you're doing this. You are strengthening and encouraging people. That is so amazing. And that is the only reason that we can continue to live and to proclaim God's word. And I know that for all of us here who are suffering and going through all these trials, we need to be here for each other. We can't just keep it all inside. Some of us like to just pretend that things are going really quite good. You know what? You cannot be healed. If you can't be honest, you have to be honest and say, you know what, maybe you sinned even. Be honest, because it will never leave unless you get it out, and then people can surround you, and they can pray for you, and they can lift you up and strengthen you in God, because that's the only way we're going to make this. Because we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. As I was studying this too, I was going, well, why? Why does it say that? Why does God allow that? Why does he want us to go through hardships to enter the kingdom of God? Why can't we just go into the kingdom? And you know what? I'm speaking for Stan, but I think I can say for both of us. When you go through trials, you are on your knees. You are on your knees. I tell you, the last year and a half has been a whirlwind. But do I know God better? Yes, I do. Do I love him? Yes, I do. Have I understood his grace and his kindness? Yes, I do. And it's only because we're going through this horrible thing, and I hate it. You don't know how many times I've gone, God, would you just please take this away? I am tired. I'm done. I cannot do this anymore. Please quit. And he said, no. No, actually, this is a fight. And there's hardships. And if you're going to be in the kingdom, in this kingdom of mine, there are battles. I'm allowing this to happen to you so that you get on your knees and you come to know, because I'm really worth knowing, says God. God is amazing. And he wants us, he just wants us. He'll do anything to draw us into him. So that's why we have this trials. Tomorrow's a hard day. I'm just going to be real upfront and frank about this. Tomorrow Stan's getting sentenced. And yes, there is fear. But there's also faith. And we've tried to surrender. We think we've surrendered. You know, we're going in there going, okay, God, this is in your hands. And it is in your hands. It is in his hands. There's also Satan out there, and he is trying his best to pull Stan down. So we don't know what's going to happen. We do not know. You know what? We're going to leave that up into God's hands. But please pray. 1:30 tomorrow, 1:30. Pray for us. Pray for us. If you want to join us, you can come join us too. It's not that fun, but you can join us if you want. The courthouse at 1:30. I'm just going to say that. Because I believe that we can encourage each other, and I think that we can strengthen each other. And I love my husband. And yes, he sinned, but boy, he's forgiven. And God has such a good plan. He's got a great plan. And so that's what I have to close with one little thing yet. And that's for Ben, my little grandson Ben. And there's so many of you who've been praying for our little Ben. He had a cleft lip and cleft palate. And pretty serious. And just on Tuesday, he had this done a long time ago, but he had the little hole in his mouth, like he had a trench all the way down his throat. He had that fixed, and that was a major surgery. You do the intensive care in the Children's Hospital in Calgary, they are. Well, there were so many of you who were praying, and on my Bible study, bless you ladies, we just stopped and prayed for him. So many people were praying, and so many good things happened. The doctor actually said that his surgery went the best it could have ever gone. Like, that's awesome. That's so good. And he's a little cranky and everything. And I have to be honest, the parents still need prayer because they're a little fearful yet. You know, but we went there yesterday. We were there all yesterday, kind of encouraging, kind of that whole thing. We're going to be a community here. We're going to help you here. But the cool thing is that they found out that, because he cannot suck anything for 1 month. He cannot. His hands are he's got little splints around his elbows, so he cannot put anything in his mouth. So when they feed him milk, they put a syringe in his mouth, and that's how they get the milk down his throat. Well, you can imagine how long that takes to get a bottle of milk in his mouth. So but they can feed him food. So before I heard this, on Friday, before we went, I got cooking, and I cooked and cooked and cooked, and I made 42 packages of very pureed food, hoping, because she said, I think that he can eat the pureed food. So, praise God, when we were there, she tried some of this, and he wolfed it down. That is another answer to prayer. You know, and And I mean, it fits this. You know, they went through a huge trial. This was a really big thing. This little boy is 10 months old, and they, since day one, they have been dealing with this. This has been hard on them. It was a trial. It is a trial. But you know what? I'm so thankful we can be there to help them, to pray for them. And it's just part of life. If we're going to be in the kingdom of God, it is going to be not easy. There's just going to be bumps. So anyway, thank you, congregation, for being here, for being willing to go through trials as well. And I guess I just hope that all of us are ready to step in and be that encouraging body to help those of us who are going through those trials, because we're going to all have them. And that was the gift. The gift is the trials. It's kind of not the most favorite gift maybe we have, but it is a gift because it brings us to God. Can you pray with me? God, I just thank you. Thank you for this very tough gift. And God, you had to go through all this too. Lord, this is not just something we're going through. You went through it. You were a great celebration when you were born, and Christmas was so full of joy, God. And then it wasn't even 2 years later and somebody was trying to kill you. God, you went through this. You went through this. We know. We go through it too, God, and I thank you that you are with us. I thank you, God, for the gift of trials. Make us strong in you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God, I pray for Paul Ann. Lord, he is a man of God. He's your servant. And I pray, Lord, that as the Holy Spirit instructs him, Lord, that he will instruct us. God, open our hearts, open our minds. Help us to hear you today. Help us to hear you. And I thank you and praise you for this man. Amen.
I'd like to greet you again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible, or we prefer if it is doable, we can read a passage of Scripture from the screen, if it can be put on the screen. And we'll be reading from the book of Luke, chapter 1, starting from verse 36 until the end of the Song of Mary, which is verse 55. We are in the Advent before Christmas, and this song of Mary, as found in verse 46 until 55, normally it was sung in the churches at this season. But prior to that, let's read first about the visitation done by Mary to her cousin, Elizabeth. So starting at verse 39. Okay, I read from verse 39, and by the time I read to the end of verse 42, maybe we can have something on the screen. Okay, thank you. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is he who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." That's the end of the reading, and may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you for coming to this place today to listen God's word and to worship together, to worship our Lord Jesus, the King of Kings. And as Pastor Stan said, this afternoon there will be a party, a gathering at their house. But he said there will be no turkeys. I heard that conversation between two turkeys. One turkey said, "Do you believe in life after Christmas?" The other turkey says, "No, I don't believe in life after Christmas." Why? Because all turkeys have been bought and killed and gone during Christmas time. And it is interesting, talking again about the meaning of Christmas, some people do not really understand the meaning of Christmas. Yeah, Pastor Stan has explained the meaning of Christmas, but some people are so obsessed that they think the meaning of Christmas is all about giving and receiving or exchanging gifts, which is a good thing, which is a reminder of God that even though he has only one son, anyway, he gave that one son to the world. But this giving during Christmas time, sometimes is so overstretched. Even little child in his mind, he thinks that if it is Christmas, it must be the giving season or receiving season. I heard a story about a boy about 5 years of age. His birthday is still long because he was born in August. So he thinks, well, December is the birthday of Jesus. So he wants to get some presents, some gifts. So he walks around the house. He sees the statue of Mary in the house. So he took that statue and wrapped it in a blanket, and he went to his room. There is a drawer there, and he put it in the drawer. And he said to Jesus, if you ever want to see your mom, give me something first. Well, that's an indication that people think, especially for a person like him, like that child, who is a negotiating type, he thinks that he can do some negotiation with God. That is not the meaning of Christmas, and that is not our Christianity is all about. A lot of people during Christmas time like this, Christmas season, do a lot of shopping. This is a very busy time for shopping. But thank God, still some believers are in the church today wanting to hear the word of God. But I hear the story of a judge during Christmas time. He's so happy, in a merry mood. And then he asked the prisoner, what are you charged with? And then the prisoner answered, doing my Christmas shopping early. Well, that is not an offense, the judge said. And the judge further asked him, well, what time, how early were you doing this shopping? And then the prisoner or the defendant said, well, I did it before the store opened. So again, thank you for coming to the house of the Lord today. We'll just be blessed if we hear with our spirit, with the ears of our spirit, the word of God that is coming to us. We've been talking about Mary here. We've been hearing. If we hear with the ears of our spirit, we'll be blessed by the word of God. We've been reading about Mary here in her song. To me, I see there is something about Mary. She had learned to trust God, even beyond the bottom line. This is one thing that we need to learn. Just like the message we heard earlier, we are going through much tribulation and hardships, and to enter the kingdom of God, the scripture says we are going through narrow path. I think it is also in line with the advice given by Paul to his protege. He said, as a good soldier of Christ, you have to be able to bear hardships. And hardships, if it is seen in a proper perspective from the eyes of faith, will strengthen us. It will not destroy us, but it will make us as a piece of gold, which is even purer. So talking about Mary here, even though she was raised in a poor home, but remember, she was godly. They might be poor, but that family was a godly family. Life for them might be hard, but God is good. Mary had learned through hard times that God is faithful. She trusted God even though she did not fully understand. I don't think that she understood fully what the angel explained or said to her. She didn't know how it would entail or turn out for her when she said yes to God. She simply heard the angel said that for God, nothing is impossible. In verse 37, but what is amazing here is that Mary's personal choices, she's done good choices. Mary's personal choices had prepared her for that surprise. In verse 27 and verse 34, those verses describe Mary as a virgin. She had decided early in her life to maintain moral purity. She kept, in other words, she kept herself chaste and right. That reminds me of a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. And it says, if anyone purifies himself through these things, he will be a special instrument set apart, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Purity, in other words, places us in a position to be blessed by God. And Mary had kept herself in obedience to God, and also she had kept herself for her husband to be. So I believe when the news of her pregnancy came, instinctively she knew, she said in her heart, that God must be up to something special. When you remember again the song that Mary sang, Mary knew the true identity of the son that she would bear. Many people, it's a good time to sing during Christmas time, but it would be more wonderful if the people really understand of the one they are singing about. As far as Mary is concerned, she knew the true identity of the son that she would bear and of the one that she was singing about. She heard what the angel said in verse 30 until 33 about her son. There are some titles mentioned in those verses about her son. About Jesus, which is actually derived from the word Joshua, which is, in fact, the combination of Yahweh or Jehovah saves. Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. Also in that verse, she heard that the Son of the Most High will come. She heard the name of Messiah, which is the same as Christ. Christ is the Greek word and Messiah is the Hebrew one. In other words, she understood the purpose of her pregnancy. A teenage girl, Mary, was the first evangelist as she told the gospel first in a song. That is the essence of that song. In some churches, they call that song Magnificat. Comes from the first word in Latin, magnify, because she said, I magnify the Lord. My spirit magnifies the Lord. What is interesting here is the angel's words confirmed by Elizabeth. Because Elizabeth spoke a prophetic word as soon as Mary entered her home. And that was the occasion when she sang that song. In other words, God will not leave you confused. He will shed more light or give you confirmation from other sources. He'll give you affirmation, so to speak. It's not by only one source. I can understand Mary's condition. She believed. She said yes to God. The angel was not mad at her, just like when the angel Gabriel, 6 months prior, visited the home of Zacharias, the priest, not the home, visited the place where he was standing when burning the incense. But this man of God, this priest, Zechariah, who knew a lot about prophecies, he said, I don't believe that. In an essence, he said, I don't believe. I'm old. My wife was old. But Mary cooperated with God. See, in a Christmas setting like this, at least there are three appearances of the angels. Angels appearing to the shepherds, the uneducated, the marginalized, the least in the society, but they believe the message. The angel appeared to the priest, Zechariah, but he did not believe the message. The angel appeared to a young teenage girl, Mary, country girl, and she believed the message. That's why we are here today, because she said yes to God. Then the Savior has come. In other words, a new day has dawned. A new day has come for her, and also for us. And those new things in a new day were told in the two stanzas of her song. The first stanza talks about undeserved grace. Or maybe the other title for that might be God's gift delivered to you and to me in person. That's all about the first stanza. Because if you read again, the essence of that first stanza is about God who did not give you and me what we deserve. What we deserve is hell, punishment, to be abolished from his presence, from God's family. That's what we deserve. That's our wage. As Romans 6 says, the wage of sin is death. I do not want to accept wage, my wage. I want to accept the gift of eternal life. Amen. So if someone does not want to accept the offer given by God, the offer of eternal life, what he'll get is, yes, I said earlier, he'll get his wage. I hope no one will refuse to accept the gift of salvation given by God if you haven't done that in your life. So in the first stanza, we see something wonderful about God. What is that thing? That God loves the unheard of. Who has ever heard the name of Mary? Nobody. So she's the unheard of person. God loves a person like that. God loves the nobody. God loves the neglected one. God loves the least. And if you see yourself as someone disqualified in life, God loves the disqualified. If you think that your life, your face, is not impressive, God loves the unimpressive. And God loves the underdog. The underdog, God loves. God loves the needy. God loves the flawed. I fit that bill. God loves the flawed. Oh, that is the gift. And you will not find that gift under your Christmas tree. No, you'll not find that there. But you can accept that gift today if you have never done so here today. And the second stanza, I've talked about the first stanza, that is the undeserved grace. And the second stanza of that Mary's song is about the rescuing power. Or maybe the other subtitle for that would be God's strength changes everything. In Luke 1, 51 until 55, Mary sings of something radical. What is that? It's the reversal of what the world values. There is a mega shift here. Because in verse 51 it says, he will rescue the helpless. So Mary, by the Spirit of God in her, she could see something is coming. Her boy child will end all the centers of power that men have established on earth on an ungodly basis. The end of self-centeredness. All self-centered ambition is at hand. Brothers and sisters, don't lose sleep over injustices and mistreatments that you see all around. Don't despair over the wrongs that you have ever encountered in your life. My advice today is just bring your case to the Lord. Let the song of Mary comfort you. You may see that the ungodly power is still strengthening their position and they are trying to exhibit their influence nowadays. But that's only for a little while before God will say, enough is enough. Amos 5, verse 24 says, in relation to that, one day, that verse says, one day justice will flow like water. I love that verse. justice will flow like water and righteousness like an unfailing stream, washing away wrong and setting all things right. God Almighty, the one that you worship, that we worship here in this place, he is still on the throne. And he is the helper of the helpless. Verse 52, it says that God will exalt the humble. God has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. That's the meaning. You remember that verse in the book of Daniel chapter 4 about the king, the most powerful man on earth in his day by the name of Nebuchadnezzar? But when he came to his senses, when God opened his eyes again, he said this verse in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praises and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because all his works are true and his ways are just. And he is able to humble those who walk in pride. Nebuchadnezzar was a pride king. Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful person at that time, I said earlier. And he knew it. He was the most powerful one. But when God's judgment was upon him, he was suddenly deposed and plucked out, thrown from his throne. And God will continue to depose the Herods, the Hitlers, or whoever who acts like Nebuchadnezzar. And God will bring them very, very low. And you know what? As the Bible says in the book of Matthew, the meek will end up inheriting the earth. There is a philosophy nowadays about fighting for your rights. Stand up for your rights. I personally do not buy that hype. I don't buy. Because it is, to me personally, I think it is an exaggerated promotion of the world's way that says, if you want to succeed, blow your own horn. Stand up for your rights. I know some people do that, but as for me, personally, I said, I won't buy that then, because to me it sounds like the law of the jungle. Because I know the Bible teaches, Jesus is teaching his people in Luke 14, verse 11. He gives a wonderful thing. There is a higher law at work to succeed in God's word. What is that? Yes, Luke 14, verse 11 says, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So my brothers, my sisters, the church loved by Jesus Christ, seek humility, not glory. Let's labor for the Lord, not for ourselves. And let's stop caring who will get the credit. I remember when I was working for quite some time, 20 years or more in the an oil company in Asia. These fellows in the office, they try as much as possible to get the credit for whatever done during work in the workplace. Stop caring who will get the credit, especially if we are involved in doing God's work. If you ever give, give without expecting in return. If you want to take a seat, take the back seat. Not in the church, what I mean. No, no. Take the back seat. Because that is the path to greatness in God's kingdom. One verse I'd like to share with you, Isaiah 66:2. It says this, I will look favorably on this kind of person. Who is that kind of person? What's the criteria? What's the characteristic? That verse says, one who is humble, one who is submissive in spirit, and one who trembles at God's word. Do we meet that criteria? Do we tremble at God's word? Talking about Mary again, the unheard of. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27 until 29 says, let me read them to you. God has chosen the words foolish things to shame the wise. And God has chosen the words weak things to shame the strong. God has chosen the words insignificant and despised things that are viewed as nothing, so he might bring it to nothing the thing that are viewed as something, so that no one can boast in his presence. Church of Jesus Christ is for people who feel their own emptiness. Do you feel your own emptiness without Christ today? The Church of Jesus Christ is made up of people like those who gathered around King David when he was on the run because his rebel son Absalom tried to make a coup. And it is in 1 Samuel 22, verse 2, that tells about that. Listen to this verse. This is the type of people that gather around King David. Every man who was desperate, everyone who is in debt, everyone who is discontented. Are you desperate in life? Or do you still think that you have something to cling to or to hold on other than to God? Are you in debt? I'm in debt. I cannot pay for all of my mistakes, my sins, my wickedness. Are you discontented in life? People have tried many things in life, but they still feel empty because they do not allow Christ to fill their life, their heart. Are you discontented? They try many things. It is not a secret that even people in Hollywood, they have everything, but they feel discontented in life because they don't allow, they don't give place for Jesus in their life, for those who don't. So these kind of people are the ones, the discontented, those in debt, those that are desperate, they gather around King David. And the verse says, and he, King David, became their leader. This talks about Jesus Christ. King David like a prototype of Jesus Christ who will come, who will come. Do you want to gather around Jesus Christ and pledge your allegiance to him? He is the King of Kings, and he'll satisfy your life. You won't be discontented anymore. And I believe these are the kinds of people, the kinds of folk that God is looking for today. I said earlier about the forgotten, the marginalized, the unheard of, the nobodies, the unimpressive. Yes, God loves the forgotten. Maybe people have passed you over, but God will never pass you over if you are ready for him. He loves the passed over. He pledges himself to be a loving, caring, and kind God to you if you pledge your allegiance to him. Only if you know yourselves that you are handicapped without him, that you are nobodies, that you are losers, he'll show his mercies to a people like that. And we don't deserve that. And that is the meaning of grace. We don't deserve his goodness, but God extends and gives it anyway. See, God chooses the lowly instead of the proud. God finds the hungry, and he fills the hungry with his goodness. God is on the side of those who cannot take care of themselves. Do you think that you can take care of yourself in this life? I cannot. I need someone. I need God so that he'll be on my side. So as I said, would you take this time or this season to pledge your allegiance to him? And he'll show his power and his mercy and his grace to you. God bless you all.
You say amen? When we say amen, we say that we agree. We say that, yeah, this is God's word. And Kirsten, you want to come up and let's do that. Just start playing that song quietly, the new one, okay? And some of the other worship team can join you. Just as I was listening, it seems like God was saying, you know, I want you to say yes. And I don't know what God wants you to say yes to today. That's up to you. You know, what's on your heart? He wants us to search our hearts today. He found a humble servant in the person of Mary, and Mary said yes. Even though I think by all accounts, any one of us would probably say, no way. There's no way I'm going to do this. There's no way that I'm going to be pregnant. There's no way I'm going to stand the social stigma of this. No. Most of us would probably say, no, I don't want to go through this. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with what people will say about me, what they'll think about me. But that's not what she did. She said yes. And I believe that God's word today is a word that challenges us to say yes. Maybe it's just saying yes to being obedient. Maybe it's saying yes to turn the heat up in this place because it's pretty cold in here. I don't know. But whatever it is, I encourage you to think about this morning as we sing this song. What is God, and maybe this isn't just new today. He's been challenging you with this for a while. He wants you to say yes. It's time to be obedient. Maybe he's wanting you to get into his word, and you're not really reading the word. Or maybe there's a relationship that needs to be straightened out, and you know that it's time. You got to say yes. It's time. Can't keep hanging on to this grudge. Maybe there's someone you need to be merciful to. And God's saying to you, you know, I've been bringing this person up in your life. And he wants you to just say, yes, okay, I will. Maybe he's been humbling you. He's been doing that lately. Because like Pauline said, we don't hear him sometimes until we're brought low, until the pride gets knocked out of us. And that's not a bad thing. That's actually a good thing. Maybe you're going through that too. And you're at a point where you can say, okay, yes, Lord. Whatever you want. Maybe you don't even know what it is, but whatever it is, God. Whatever it is, Jesus, the answer is yes. I just want to be obedient. I want to be faithful, even though I haven't always been in the past. I want to succeed in this test that I'm going through today. So yes, Jesus. I invite you this morning to close your eyes. They're going to just sing it one time through. And then I'm going to ask you to stand up. If you have something that you know this is what God's saying, and maybe you don't, but if you do, then let's stand up together and say yes. Yes, Lord, yes. I will be that servant. I will be faithful. I will be obedient. Have your way. Do that. You put the words on the screen. Say yes, just stand. Let's sing it again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ the Savior of the world. He has come.
Christ the Savior of the world.
Just put your hand on someone. Just put them on his shoulder, okay? So let's put our hand on someone's shoulder. We're going to pray together as we close our worship. Put your hands on someone's shoulder. We just say together today, Lord, we say yes. Amen? Lord, we say yes to you.
Yes, yes.
We want to be obedient. We know what you're saying to us. We hear it in our heart. We know what you're calling us to do. You've been bringing us to this point, to this very point today, so that we would stand up and we'd say, yes, yes, God, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to die to myself. I'm going to be humble. I want to go where you tell me to go. I want to say the things that you want me to say. There's some of us here today, you're calling us to be encouragers. There's someone who needs to be encouraged, and you're putting that person in our hearts right now. You need to go see that person. I need to write a letter. I need to write an email. Thank you, Jesus. We want to be obedient. We want to be like Mary. There's nothing impossible with God. We believe that today. So we stand together in agreement. And you say in your word that when we agree, when two or three agree, that there's great power. There's amazing, miraculous, wonderful things that will happen when we stand in agreement. So in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus our Savior, we stand in agreement today and we say yes.
Yes.
We say yes.
Yes. Yes.
We say yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We say yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Have your way, Lord.
Have your way.
Lead on, O God.
Lead on.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May the God of peace give you peace today. His shalom rests on you. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing it as we leave.